Pastor Sam is away, and I get this opportunity once in a while to preach, and it's such an honor and privilege. There's no way that I'm worthy to be standing here to be preaching, but I do believe that there's a message for us, and I'd like to get to it. And before I do, I believe that there's something good happening around the country. I don't know if you know, but, I heard about the revival in Asbury, and actually our daughter, Caitlin, visited that place and kind of describing what's happening. And there's a lot of, emotional healing that's going on amongst the young hearts, college students, high school students. And I see that happening around the campuses a little bit more. And, I was talking with Pastor Sam, and I was like, man, I hope that we could have something here, And I really believe that. And, we sometimes, I speak to, local pastors around this area, and, what is Catalyst known for? What do you think our church is known for? When somebody says, what is Catalyst known for? What do you think people say? Inner healing. Okay. Yeah, that's definitely what people say. They're an inner healing church, right? Some people say they're a little older church, right? they all have kids at that church. Some people say, oh, it's a good church filled with a lot of good people. And I used to be very happy with those things. But now I'm not. I want to hear, that church is spirit-filled church. And spirit-filled where God's presence is real and active. And I pray that, that is our prayer as we go forward. As we were deciding on the goals for this year for Catalyst, we thought maybe it would be a good goal to have good disciplines in our life. Right? Good disciplines in our life. And that's exactly what I want to preach about today. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time. Thank you for everybody that's here. You called them to be here. Lord God, just hide me behind the cross. May you speak. And when you speak, Lord, let everybody here take home something special that's going to be life-changing. It's going to change the trajectory of their life this year. Lord, come and bless us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At the beginning of every year, Gia always asks me, what is your New Year's resolution? I kind of shared this. And I hate this question because my New Year's resolution tend to fail within week two, right? I don't know about yourself, but when you make these resolutions, man, I set these lofty goals for myself. I really do. And I tend to really crash and burn at the week two. And one of the things that I always say, one of the goals that I have is I want to lose weight. And, I don't know why, but every time I preach, I talk about my weight. Maybe this is something that I need some healing of, right? My overweightness, And I would say, I want to lose weight every year. And after 24 years of marriage, I discovered why I fail. After 24 years of marriage, I realized why I fail to accomplish this goal. What if I told you right now, at the end of the year, we were able to, and you were able to, right? You were able to accomplish the goal that you set for yourself at the beginning of the year, to see real results. What if at the end of the year, we were able to see certain fruit of the Spirit develop and be evident in our life? Or better yet, what if others see the fruit of the Spirit in your life be evident? Sometimes that's a little more important, right? Because I'm like, self-perception is sometimes a little skewed. I feel like, oh, I have all the fruits of the Spirit. But my wife is like, you need to get more patience. And what if at the end of the year, you realize, wow, you really develop more patience. You are so more patient than you were last year. You're more gentle. There's joy. There's certain joy in your life that I haven't seen in your life in the past. What if your child says, man, Dad, you've been a great dad this year. You've been a great dad. Wow. Gia says, man, Tay, you've been a great husband this year. Actually, I think she says that to me every year, so. That's, maybe not. What if at the end of the year, you realize there's some significant increase in faith? that was able to help you overcome certain valleys. So certain valleys and certain things come, certain depression or anxiety come, you realize you were able to overcome it better this year than the past. What if you realize, wow, I could start listening and hearing the voice of God a lot better. My relationship with God has improved significantly. Would you sign off for that today? Absolutely. Let's hear it. Yes? Yes, absolutely. So let's first discover why we fail first, and then let's tackle how we're going to get there. And this message really is, I took it out of Craig Koshel's seminar, and I got this Bible verses actually from my buddy Brian, who's very knowledgeable with the Bible, gave me this passage that I was speaking to him. Okay, first reason why we fail. The focus is on the what and not on the how. The focus is always on the what. What I mean by what? You know, you set certain goals for yourself. No football team goes into the season and says, we're going to have a losing season this year. We're going to have an average season. No, every football team comes into the season and says, we want to win the Super Bowl. When you start a business, you don't start a business thinking, you know what? We're going to lose money. Our business is all about losing money. No, you want to say, I want to have a successful business as we start this year. You know, when you don't come into the school year thinking, you know what? I'm going to get all D's this year. No, you come and you're going to be like, I'm going to ace everything this year. You know, certain goals are very good. You come in and says, you know what? I want to have a great marriage. You know, on your wedding day, you know, you don't come and at the standing and be like, I want to have a mediocre marriage. I just want a marriage. No, you on your wedding day, you're like, man, this is the best decision I made, and we're going to have a thriving marriage. You set these lofty goals, right? And we always put our focus in the goals, but no, we fail because our focus is just on the goal. My goal always is like lose weight, but yet my focus is not on the how. What is the how? How is goals don't determine results. These great goals that we have don't determine the results. The results come by habits that we create. Amen? Respond to me. Respond, okay? Duke University did this research. Over 40% of what you do daily is not a result of decision-making, but result by habits. Over 40% of what you do daily is by what you do by daily habits. Think about that. That's pretty scary. That means 45%, almost half of your life, what you're doing is dictated by the habits that you do. You know, I would even say, you know, sometimes we think about our church focuses on, you know, inner healing and putting on the armor of God. Right? Put on the armor of God. Swing that sword of the Spirit. You know, get that shield of faith up, the belt of truth, and, you know, feet of readiness. Go forth with the armor of God. Yeah, there's so many times where we don't know how to use the armor of God, right? Habit is defined, it says, regular tendency or practice, right? Regular tendency or practice that is hard to give up, right? Definition of habit. Sometimes we need to put practice and put regular tendencies to utilize certain things that God has given, such as the armor of God. We need to focus on creating good habits. Point number one, let's not stay within the goals, but let's think about the how. How are we going to get there? 1 Samuel 17, this is the story of David and Goliath. Everybody knows the story of David and Goliath. And I'm just going to run through certain verses and just stay with me, okay? Stay with me. Verse 4, champion named Goliath, who was from Gath. He was 6 cubits and 9 span wide. That means in equivalent to these days, he was 9 foot 9 inches tall. He was like a basketball hoop. He was like 10-foot tall man. And he says, you know, he was in the battlefield. He says, if anyone is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. Verse 11, it says, whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. In great fear. Verse 34, it's kind of the story goes, David comes, and David's a little shepherd boy. He's a small boy. He comes to King Saul, and he says, you know what? You know, I want to fight this guy, right? And Saul looks at him, and he says, in verse 34, you know, he says, you're a little boy. You know, how can you fight this giant? And he says, David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paws of the lion and the paws of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. You know, there's so much, like, truth in there, in that statement. You know, some people say, get the nuggets out of the message. Today, I want to say, get the tenders out of the message. See, David, as a shepherd boy, right? What is the role of a shepherd? Role as a shepherd is to take care of the sheep, right? And I'm sure it was probably sometimes a boring job. But yet, it was so important because the sheep, they don't know how to defend them for themselves. In fact, they kind of don't know how to do a lot of things. So you have to kind of like lead them and teach them and do things with the sheep, right? But the most important thing was to protect the sheep. When the beasts came, when the lions came, when these animals came to attack them, the shepherd needed to protect them. Do you think that David, who didn't know how to have good habits of protecting the sheep, he was able to protect the sheep from these lions and the bears? Absolutely not. David definitely had to learn how to fight off these beasts and these animals that came. He had to have practiced how to protecting the sheep. You know, he did this on a regular basis. He realized when he says, when a lion and bear came and carried off, he went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from his mouth. David, you know, it didn't happen to him overnight. It didn't happen even this a week or a month. It probably took years of training. See, we sometimes fail. This is point number two, because we don't see progress fast enough, right? We give up too easily. You know, that is so true, because when we don't see progress fast enough, we conclude that certain habits that we make, certain small habits, it doesn't make a difference and it doesn't matter that much. You know, I was a big fan of no-carb diet, right? And first time I went on it, seven, when it first came out, you know, no-carb diet, I was like, this is going to be pretty easy, right? You just eat meat all day, you know? So I ate meat, and second day came, and third day came, and, you know, ate meat. And then it became a little bit harder as day progressed. But every time I went on the scale, every morning, I didn't lose any weight. There's nothing made a difference. Went on day 7, day 8, day 9. It went to day 14, and I said, this is dumb. I need to eat more bread, because bread is like my favorite type of food, right? And then somebody told me, don't give up. You will start losing weight. Don't give up. I've experienced it. So I said, okay, I trust you. And if I don't lose any weight, I am going to fine you. You know? Day 15 came, lost a pound. Day 16 came, lost another pound. Day 17 came, lost another pound. I couldn't believe every day started to lose weight. And you probably can't tell by looking at me now. But I did preach on lifestyle that day. And I lost 20 pounds that time. I gained it all back, obviously. So it doesn't make a big difference then. But the important thing was that, you know, I didn't give up. You know, playing golf. A couple of the brothers, we were in Florida last year playing golf. And this is the comment that I always say, or I always hear, I'm never playing this game again. I give up. This game is dumb. You hear it all the time. I quit. You know, I don't know if you ever golf, but if you golf, like Max, you know, Max, I quit. This game is dumb. And sometimes, right, we give up too easily. We give up too easily, right? What about doing our prayer time or devotional time? Sometimes we pray for certain things and we feel like God is not answering. Sometimes we feel like, God, where are you? God, I need you. Do you know what I'm going through? Do you hear what I'm saying? I am in pain. I need to come out of this. My heart has been hardened. And then you keep going, and then you stop. You know, did you know that when you boil water, water boils at 212 degrees, when it hits 212 degrees. At 211 degrees, you know the water doesn't boil. Some of us in our prayer life, in devotion life, we are at maybe like the 100 degrees. It's like warming up. And we're like, is this making a difference? Is this making a difference? Is me committing to spend some more time with you? Is me reading the Bible a little bit more? Is it making a difference? And you are at like 120. Some of you, maybe you are at that 211 degrees. And you just need to stay on the course to get to that 212 degrees, to experience the water boiling. I know some of you, we are on that path. We are warming up. And some of us have given up. Some of us, we feel like we're tired, we're weary. And I say to you, don't give up. Press forward. You don't see progress fast enough? Absolutely. Things work out in God's timing. And God's timing, it says in Proverbs, he makes all things beautiful in his time. Amen? Small habits that we create of faithfulness, the sacrifices that no one sees, the hard work, certain things that we do, it is not wasted. In fact, it's stored up. You know why? Because God, he never stops working. Even though we don't see it, like just like that song, even though we don't feel it, even though we don't see it, we don't hear it, God never stops working. There is such assurance in that statement that God never stops working. See, he takes certain small habits that we have, small habit of faithfulness. You know, some of us are a little maybe tired of serving. You know, it gets tiring. Serving people is difficult because I'm difficult and you're probably difficult more than me, you know? Oh, no? Oh, sorry. It gets tiring. But I want to tell you that you may be at that 200 degrees warm water, but you will boil. You will get on fire. God is going to come through. God will answer. God is going to show up. You know, this is for the youth group. I thought about like certain examples. And Kobe Bryant, you know, he's probably one of the greatest basketball players. Did you know, you know, he was so good and talented that he never went to college. He went straight to the NBA after high school. And did you know his first playoff game in 1997, he was in a decisive game, 7, I think. And they gave him the ball towards the end of the game. He airballed not only once, not twice, went to overtime. He airballed 3 times. He airballed 4 times in a decisive game, and they were eliminated from the playoffs, his first rookie season. So he started to realize he needed to create certain habits, certain goals for his life. He realized his legs were not giving, he was not strong enough, because NBA season is a lot longer than the high school season. So he started to create good habits. So this is some of the things that he did. Before every practice, if the practice started at, let's say, 10 a.m., he would come in at 7 a.m., start to work out. If the practice ended at 12 p.m., he would leave, and he would practice until 3 p.m. After every Laker game, he shot around the gym for another 2 hours. Sometimes he refused to leave the gym until he made 800 shots after a full game. In fact, during 2008 Olympic season, I saw this documentary on Netflix. While all his, the dream team, the Olympic team, were going out to party, they all went out to party, and they were coming back from the party at around like 4 or 5 a.m. As they were coming back, they saw Kobe going out, waking up from the hotel, because Kobe was going to wake up, and he was going to go work out. And they were all like, what? You know, you look at his work ethic, and you're like, wow, that's so incredible. But if you really think about it, it really isn't. He just woke up a little earlier. Maybe, actually, for me, it's like hours, waking up an hour earlier is like monumental, right? But for some of us, maybe it's not. Maybe small habits. Maybe we need to wake up 30 minutes before. He's just waking up a little bit earlier. And what he did, he came a little bit earlier to things. He came a little bit earlier to things, right? He came a little bit earlier to do things. And he left a little bit later to do things. Let's simplify what habit that he created to become one of the greatest basketball players. Yes, he did spend not many hours, but maybe we can start. Not maybe hours, but by minutes. Maybe we could commit ourselves, create good habits of 10 minutes, coming earlier to do things, leaving 10 minutes a little later. Let's look at David. You know, David was about to go fight off this Goliath. And they give him suddenly, you know, Saul's like, you know, we'll give you these weapons and, you know, go after it. And he goes, I don't need any weapons. He goes, and in verse 40 says, he took his staff in hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of the shepherd's bag with his sling in his hand, and approached the Philistine. He took 5 smooth stones. And you think like, wow, only 5? If I was going after Goliath, I'll be like, guys, get a pile of stones or something, right? He took 5 stones. You know why he took 5 stones? Because he was already an expert at it. He knew how to fling the stones. He probably, not knowing, kind of like, hey, sheep, all come here, drink from the stream. He's like, as he's waiting, he's like, let me pick up a stone. It's like, oh, that was kind of fun. Oh, wow, this is actually really entertaining. I could get good at this. Oh, maybe this would be a good way to protect the sheep. And he probably did that every day because he was so confident that he picked up only 5 stones to kill Goliath. Point 2, let's persevere together. Don't give up. When you're doing these small habits, let's not give up. Let's take heart. Because we never know what these good habits prepare us for what lies ahead of us. You know, point 3 is, I think David knew who God was. God, he absolutely knew who God was, right? In 43, Goliath said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, little boy, he says. I will give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is God in Israel. I absolutely know that David, if he did not know God intimately, he would not be able to say this. He knew that Father in heaven was absolutely able to save him from this. In fact, he experienced it. He experienced it when he attacked and defended off the lions and the bears. He remembered that God was faithful to him. You know, when we look at certain challenges and certain things, crises that come up, when these Goliaths come up, sometimes God says, hey, take heart. Remember. Remember when I showed up? Remember that. Don't think about the what, the Goliath that's in front of you, but remember who I am. Remember who I am. I am the maker of heaven and on earth. I am the author and the perfecter of our faith. And I say, you are more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer. You've experienced it before, and you're going to experience it again. You know, life is challenging. Life is difficult. It's not easy, that's for sure. And sometimes these giants stand right in front of us. And like Israelites, we're like in great fear. But Jesus said in John 16:33, I told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. We overcome because he overcame the world. He wants us to know who God is, and he wants us to know who we are. Who we are. That gives us such confidence and faith. How was Daniel in the lion's den able to say that God is going to save us? How is David going to face Goliath without knowing the Lord so intimately? Let's get to know the Lord. You know, I believe that we are all overcomers here. Every single one of us. Sometimes we have a hard time believing that. And sometimes things in the past have chained us up. It really has. But our church, we're known for healing. And we go through healing. And we feel like, what next? You know what's next for Catalyst? It starts redeeming the things that God has, things that Satan has taken from us. Things that God wants us to be redeemed of. He's a God of redemption. Know who God is. Know who we are. Know who you are. You're an overcomer. You are more than a conqueror. You're loved. You're forgiven. You're able to do immeasurably more. You are masterpiece. Arthur, perfecter of our faith, calls us his workmanship. Let's get to realize who God is and who we are. You know, I was talking with Heejung earlier, and she was like, how long is your message? And I said, it's going to be, short. She said, how many pages? I said, I don't know. I have like 6 pages. And she goes, it's going to be really short because I usually have like 8 to 10. So I'm always winding down, okay? First point, I told you, don't focus on the what, but on the how. Create good, small habits. Second point, when you create good, small habits, don't give up. Don't give up. Third point, know who you are. Know who God is when you're making the small points. So I'm going to talk about just one practical application, and we're going to wrap up the message this way, okay? And this is absolutely me talking to myself, okay? I am no way in talking to anybody. I'm talking to myself. And as I talk to myself, I want you to hear from the voice of God and see what God says to you. You got that, youth group? Got that? Okay, good. Small habits that I want to create. This is the application that we could take with us today. I want to become a better husband. That's one of the definite goals that I have. I want to become the best husband that I can. Even though Chieth already thinks that I'm the best husband, I want to become better. Right, Chieth? I want to become better. These are the goals that I have. And it's scary because I have my wife here, my children here. I even have my coworkers here, and they're going to keep me all accountable, okay? Leaving my cell phone away from the dinner table. Wow, this is a big one. This is a big one. If you see our dinner, sometimes when we go out to restaurants, all me and my kids, we're all looking at our phones. And then my wife always goes, I never wanted to be that family. I never want to think. So this is a small goal that I have, small good habit I want to create. I'm going to leave my phone away from the dinner table. Okay? Another small habit that I want to have, okay, is I want to say one thing nice to my wife every day, even though I say many things. At least I want to say one thing nice to my wife, reaffirming that we want to have a great marriage. I want to have a great marriage. I'm going on year 24 and 25, and I do believe it does get better. has to get better. It has to get better. One way to get there is by having good habits. What's a good habit? Reaffirming her. Reaffirming him. Right, Chia? Reaffirming him. What about my relationship with my children? Hi, Audrey, where are you? Only one child is here today. My other child is too busy on, oh, she's over there. Good. Maybe she won't keep me accountable to this. Just a simple text of affirmation or a simple word of affirmation before they leave to go to school. Audrey, I love you. Gabby, I think you're the best. You're going to do great. You're going to have great friends. You're going to be a good friend. You're going to do well. Reaffirming your children. I think that's a good habit to have, no? You know, I see this on basketball. You know, I used to coach basketball when my daughter used to play. And there's so many things that I wanted to say to my child that will make them better. That will make them better. I wanted them to become like me. Because when I was in school, man, my shot was so good. And I was thinking, only if I could get on that court again. But no. Every time they struggle, I just want to come off the basketball court as a coach. I just want to say, hey, Audrey, you did great. You did great. You know, you can be better. You could become a better player. Work at it. It's okay that you missed. It's okay that you failed. Next time, it's going to come. Next time, the ball is going to go in. Tim, the ball is going to go in next time. It is. Reaffirming your child. Simple habit, right? Not too difficult. Not too difficult. What about sacrificing Netflix? Whoa. My gosh. I'm on episodes 15 of 16, and I have to go through 16, even though it's 3 a.m. and tomorrow I have all the, I gotta, no. What about sacrificing Netflix, especially on Wednesday nights when there's upper room going on? Do you know, in upper room, things have been really, really good. I haven't come in a long time, and I just thought, if I give this message, I can't be hypocritical. So I started to go to upper room. You know, beginning of this year, I said, one habit that I want to have is Wednesday nights, I'm going to try to make it to upper room, right? I want to make it to upper room. Because that's when I'm going to be able to not only spend that time. You know, I don't know about you, to be honest. For me to sit there for an hour to pray at home, that is monumentally difficult, right? It is so difficult even to pray for 30 minutes at home, at work. But you know what? In upper room, I have hour and a half to spend with God. Hour and a half. Is that going to be wasted? Dan, absolutely not, right? Upper room's been powerful. Powerful. Small habit. Giving up Wednesday nights for a couple of hours? Is that difficult? No way. What about, I want to just have a better relationship with God. Yeah. How about spending time with God before you do your social media? Oh, gosh. This is so hard. In fact, sometimes first thing I do when I wake up, look at my social media. In fact, my kids got me into TikTok. Oh, my gosh. TikTok is like one of the greatest inventions ever. If I want to learn how to do something, it's better than YouTube. I could learn it in like 2 minutes. I mean, this is absolutely amazing, right? I am totally addicted. Do you know? I'm confessing before, you know, and revival actually comes after a lot of confession, and I'm confessing a lot to you. I am totally addicted to Candy Crush. I don't know if you know. Like, I've been playing this stupid game for a long time, and I am one of the top players. If you go, right, you don't want to ask me what level I am because it is almost embarrassing. In fact, it is very embarrassing. Very. How about giving up, don't opening up your social media before you spend time with God? Simple habit, right? Not too difficult. Not too difficult. What about getting your family ready a little earlier to come to church, right? So that we could all be ready to receive the Lord and be prepared. Man, sometimes preparing for your kid, it is so hard. I know, G and I, we have 3 kids. You know, Max, you have 4 kids, right? Pastor Sam and Heejung, they have 4 kids, right? It's so hard. But it all takes is that extra 10 minutes of preparation to make it earlier. Small habit. Small habit that you come here a little prepared to worship the Lord. Some of these, you know, it's really for myself. And I believe as I'm sharing this, you could probably come up with your own small habits. These are some of mine. But come up with your own small habits. Because you know why? The sum of all these small habits will add up to significant result. Significant result. Small habits of David flinging a stone, killing Goliath, changing the entire nation of Israel by the small habits that he had. Some of all these small habits will have great results for me this year. And at the end of this year, I will be able to, actually, others will be able to see. Maybe my spouse, Chie, will be able to talk to me about certain things that I've achieved this year. My kids will be. You know, I share this story, and I'm going to end with this. And I really don't, you know, you think like sometimes, oh, it tastes so boastful. I'm not. Well, actually, I am. But if you know me for all these years, giving me the benefit of the doubt, I really don't boast in myself because I have so many shortcomings. I have so many limitations. I, in fact, don't even know why you guys let me leave worship sometimes, right? I know my limitations, right? I only boast in what God has done in my life. And I have to. And if you heard this story before, indulge me and entertain me like it's the first time you've heard it. Because I know some of you have heard this story thousands of times. And I have to tell this story. Because I was thinking, how am I going to end this message? I want to give a practical example that I've experienced in my life. I was thinking and thinking and thinking. And that's why I played probably so poorly last week during golf, because I was just thinking about the message. And what story can I end with? What story can I end with? And boom, this is a story of my life. It's one story. So when I was in college, Brian knows this, we used to stay up all night late. Brian has this incredible ability that God has given where he just needs like 3 hours of sleep to function. I need like 7, 8, right? And Brian has this incredible self-control that when we go out to eat, he doesn't really eat, but I eat. So I was on this full meal plan that my parents gave me, and 3 meals a day, right, 7 days a week. And then afterwards, we would go out to eat again. And then Brian loved coffee, so we used to go out to all these cafes. And when you go to these NYU, New York, downtown village cafes, the tiramisu is so good that you just cannot, you know, not have it. So, you know, in college, like, my first year of college, I gained, I think, like 30 pounds. No joke. I went from, like, 155 to, like, 185. And Saturday mornings were so precious to me, right? Saturday morning was when I just slept. I probably did not know Saturday mornings at all, right? Saturday morning was the only day I could actually sleep in. And then one day, this guy comes to me and goes, hey, can you commit to coming to this hospital Saturday morning? We do this thing for the little children, and we do this thing for the adults. And I was like, oh, where is it? Roosevelt Island. Oh, wait, I'm at NYU. I have to take the train. That means I have to wake up at 8. Oh, maybe next time. And kept asking me and asking me. One day he bought like a person who lived there, and he said, "Oh, hey, it'll be great. We need somebody to, you know, play the guitar and lead worship for these kids, and you know, for the, you know, all the elderlies there." And I was like, oh, man, Saturday mornings are really tough. But I was like, okay, maybe I could change this habit. Small habit. Instead of waking up at 12, you know, wake up at 8. So every Saturday morning, I used to go to this hospital. Roosevelt Island, it's a hospice. Everybody in there, you know, they're really on their deathbeds, right? Even these children. So I used to go to this children area, and I met this kid, and they tell you, you know, don't cry when you're there. They don't want your sympathy, right? Don't cry. But when you're there, my gosh, it is so devastating, and it's so, like, man, so much depression, so hopelessness, like, it's just like, it's like right on their face, like, I'm hopeless, right? So I used to go to this children's area, and there was this 10-year-old kid, and it took me 3 months just for him to talk to me. I went there with my guitar, and I said, hey, you want to sing? No, nothing. And I just sang by myself. He probably like, please stop. You know, I did that for 3 months. And then after 3 months, this kid finally started to speak to me. Like, hey, he's in death. He's in like a bed. He needs a machine to breathe because he can't breathe. He can't stand, right? He can't raise his arms. He can't do anything. He controls the remote control with his mouth, right? 3 months, 4 months go by, 5 months. I go for a year, right? I go to this kid, and we start singing those songs, and I just sang 3 songs for every Saturday for the whole year so that he remembers, and we just know. Every Saturday I went. It's the first song we used to sing. Who's the king of the jungle? And I made him finally to be like, woo, woo. Who's the king of the sea? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Who's the king of the universe? He's the king of me. His name is, and he'd be like, J-E-S-U-S. You know, simple habit. I just gave up my Saturday mornings, and that changed the trajectory of my life. That's how I came. I left that hospital every Saturday. Said, I am never going to shortchange God when I'm coming to worship. You know why I go like crazy here sometimes? Doesn't matter. You know, if you knew me in college, I know Brian knows. Even with like 20 people, 10 people, I used to go absolutely, gave it all. Because this one kid who was able to give it all. You know, when we used to sing, he couldn't jump. He couldn't do anything. But he did bounce. He bounced on the bed. He couldn't do anything, but he got so excited, he bounced. How can I shortchange God when God gave me this body? You know, I used to go to this elderly area, and this one couple that changed the trajectory of my life on how to love my wife. We used to, she had a terrible stroke, and she was not going to make it. She was not going to live too far. And we used to go in, and we used to sing songs, and we'll be singing, you know, Blessed Assurance. This is my story. This is my song. And it's praising my Savior all the day long. Both of them. Not only the grandma was in bed. She would like shake her hand in bed. This is my story. I'm praising my God. And better yet, the husband standing there next to her, worshiping like this. And then in the middle at times, like she had no control of her bowel. And she would do number 2 right on the bed. And I'll be like, what's the smell? Like, and he'd be like, can you just leave the room for like 5 minutes? They leave. We leave outside the room. He says, wait, don't leave. Just wait. And then he just cleans her, wipes her. Man, wow. And I said, I want to love my wife just like that. I came back into the room, and then we were saying, this is my story. And she's like, still trying to raise her hand. And he's still praising God. That's how I came up with No Holding Back. The ministry that I started, Jericho Falls Ministry, it came with the motto No Holding Back because of these few people. That changed the trajectory of my life because I gave up my Saturday mornings from like 8 to 10. Small, simple habits. And I want to end with this.
Is that?
I bet this little kid, he passed away after 3 years. He lived to like 13 or 14. He like totally devastated me. But I bet you, he did not realize that I could tell his story. Now, he didn't realize I could tell this story to the thousands of youth students that I get to lead worship in front of. Thousands of college students, adults. I bet you he didn't know. Bet you he didn't know that 13, 14 years of his life, he probably had the lowest self-esteem that anybody could have. He probably didn't know the impact that he could have. But just by him kind of affecting my life during that time, I get to tell his story even now. And you know what? I want to make that simple habits again in my life. I want you to make that simple habits in your life because you cannot stay just the way you are. We can't stay just as we are because we're not satisfied. Are you satisfied right now? I'm not. You know, things are good in my life. I could testify things are good in my life, but am I satisfied? No, because I want more. I know you want more. Do you want more for this church? Absolutely. Why am I screaming at you guys? I want more. And one way to get there for me is to have many small habits once again. No matter how old or how young you are and I am. Can you think about that today as you go home? Can you talk to your spouses today? Can you talk to your children maybe? Make small habits today because accumulation of these small habits will compound to have great results. Catalyst, revival is happening around the world. Jesus is coming back. He is coming back. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared. We need to know how to throw stones. We need to know how to fend off lions and bears. In fact, we need to slay giants. We need to slay Goliath that comes. And that's why our church exists. Our church exists to break boundaries. The vision of our church. And when you come to our church and commit, we're thinking that you're going to break boundaries. I'm going to break boundaries. We are going to break boundaries. Let's do it together. Amen? Whew. Wow. It's so emotional. It's getting old. Whew. I was like, gosh, Lord, let me not shed a tear tonight, today as I give this message. But when God moves, I really don't care. I want him to move in my life. I want him to do it again in my life. I want a no holding back moment again in my life. Let's pray.